And in addition to this, we have two specialized insurers. One is Agricultural Insurance Company of India. They specialize in agriculture insurance, has specific support for the government schemes like the Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana, which caters to large number of people in the rural areas and those connected with agriculture. Equally important specialized insurer is the ECGC Limited, which is Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India Limited. Agricultural insurance company specializes in agricultural insurance. The ECGC Limited specializes in export credit insurance. The services they offer, right from counseling to documentation to marketing as well as for claim settlement, caters to the unique needs of exporters, and that's where becomes a big boost for the exports from our country. Next important milestone is the insurance sector reforms in India, specifically beginning 1990s. So this process of reopening of insurance sector, which was totally dominated by the government or the public sector insurers, started opening up in the 1990s, specifically because of the 1993 Malhotra Committee key recommendations. Two of the prominent recommendations of this Malhotra Committee was private sector should be permitted to enter the insurance so that competition could be put into the insurance sector. More products could be introduced, more practices, best practices could be instrumental, more sophisticated technology can be deployed, not only for underwriting, but for pricing as well as claim settlement. And for that, it also allowed, suggested, the foreign companies should be allowed to enter. So in addition to opening up of insurance sector for the private sector, foreign companies were also allowed to float Indian companies, preferably with a joint venture with Indian partners. So that's where the opening up happened, with a tremendous boost and support by the private sector as well as the foreign companies. In addition to this, one important recommendation was to create an independent regulatory body to regulate insurance sector, because we had only one legislation, that is Insurance Act of 1938, but that was only taking care of regulation. But when we talk about a regulator, that was missing, and this Malhotra Committee made a very important recommendation to establish an independent regulatory body, and immediately after that came the establishment of IRDAI as a sole regulator of insurance sector. The Malhotra Committee recommendation also laid a foundation for liberalization, privatization, and modernization waves which flourished during that period. And in 2000, private insurance companies were allowed to enter the insurance market. Foreign insurance companies also set up joint ventures with Indian partners. More insurance companies started offering insurance products, with a wide array of insurance products, better services to the customers, as well as best practices that were brought across the globe for the betterment of Indian insurance environment. When we talk about IRDAI, it was immediately established after Malhotra Committee recommendations in 1999 to regulate and develop the insurance industry. The key objectives were to protect a policyholders' interest, ensuring regulation for promotion and orderly growth of insurance industry, overseeing of various other matters connected therewith. So IRDAI has become a very important regulator, or an entity which not only takes care of the policyholders' interest, but it also ensures that the growth and the promotion of insurance industry is happening in a very proper manner. And for that matter, it also ensures that various intermediaries that are connected with the insurance industry are also of having specific eligibility criteria. They follow a specific code of conduct, and they also monitor how all these intermediaries as well as the insurer are actually instrumental in the promotion and growth of insurance industry. Next important turnover happened in the insurance industry in India because of the impact of globalization. When we talk about globalization, we have already seen the openness, entry of foreign companies in partnership with the Indian insurance companies. This enabled transformation of insurance industry in India. It established a competitive and efficient market, resulting into rapid growth. New insurers were introduced with joint venture between foreign insurers and the Indian insurers, because of which new insurance products and services were introduced to individuals as well as businesses. Indian insurers could raise capital from international markets, and the global best practices and regulatory standards which existed in different foreign countries started coming into India to raise the Indian standards at par with the global best practices. Systems upgrades, service standards were improved, and in all, innovation was introduced to stay competitive. And not only these joint ventures resulted into innovative insurance platform, but in turn, the public sector also did not stay back. They also brought into different best practices. They upgraded their systems, the service standards, and in all, the private players as well as public sector insurers have started serving the Indian insurance market with competitive and efficient characteristics within their business offerings. Yet another things we can understand about globalization is the reduced transaction cost. It created liquidity and facilitated economies of scale in investments. When we talk about reduced transaction costs, so many offerings or distribution that could happen physically or through different branches or through different agents or with high administrative costs were reduced to a larger extent because of deployment of advanced technology. It also created liquidity because large insurance contracts could be established, capital could flow in, and it also helped different products could be launched, and in turn it facilitated the economies of scale in investments because the whatever premiums that could be collected could be invested with proper portfolios. As allowed by the IRDAI, partnerships with local organizations also provided micro insurance, specifically at the grassroots, the rural, the areas, the farmers, the business entrepreneurs who did not have anyone like insurance company. So here the micro insurance specifically catered to their needs. Awareness campaigns and customer education initiatives, most specifically after the COVID-19, people started understanding about the importance of insurance, the long-term protection, and in addition to that, the awareness campaigns and customer education initiatives actually helped people to understand and buy insurance not just for the sake of tax saving, but for protecting themselves, and some could also buy it as an investment option. Customers make more informed risk management decisions because awareness makes them understand the needs. And when the needs are there, there will be also some risk and losses. And based on that, they can decide what is number one priority. And based on that, they can take care of their risk. They can take help to safeguard them for their risk. And there comes the informed risk management. Insurance for proper financial planning and not merely for tax exemption. Gone are the days when insurance was bought only for tax exemption. Now people do a holistic study of their needs and requirements, and they bring insurance as a tool for proper financial planning. The insurance sector has expanded with sophistication of innovative products. So initially, the traditional products were just for the sake of offering life insurance. Now both life and non-life insurance have expanded to a larger extent with innovation and creativity, exactly understanding where the risk is, exactly understanding where the insured could benefit, and based on that, the products are developed and they are upgraded and updated with the changing scenarios and the environment. and to suit this particular multiplicity of need, a new concept has also emerged and established in the form of insurance repository services in India. A repository is simply a place where the insurance policies are stored in digital form, or we can say dematerialized form, wherein the need for physical issuance of policies is not required. The need for safeguarding and protecting the insurance documents for years together is not required. For that matter, the policyholder has to just open an electronic insurance account, popularly known as the EIA account. This can be opened online. The systems are very customer friendly, and not only the insurance company can directly credit the insurance policy into their account, but the policyholder can also track them anytime, can also understand where the when the premiums could be due. It enhances the security and accessibility of insurance documentation and totally eliminates the need for physical documents. So friends, with this, we are now entering into a netter topic of this chapter on navigating the world of insurance for understanding the basic concepts of insurance. So having understood the introduction of insurance, till the evolution of insurance, right from the ancient times till the modern times, we enter into a new unit of this chapter wherein we'll understand the basic concepts of insurance. When we talk about basic concepts of insurance, we have to understand what is the primary objective of insurance. The primary objective is obviously to protect against the financial losses due to uncertain events. Now, these uncertain events is very important to understand. So, if something is known to happen, for that reason, a formal insurance may not be there, will not be there. However, if something which is not known when to happen, but there is a prediction that it may happen, then the insurance comes into the picture, especially to compensate the loss. And how do we quantify the loss? This again, we need to understand on the basis of life assets and non-life assets. So the key concepts of insurance can be, number one, protection against uncertainty. And when you know there is going to be a loss, instead of you bearing the loss on your own, it is always better to transfer the risk to the insurance company, which amounts to risk transfer. So if at all the loss happens, you get compensated for the loss. So what does this provide? It provides a safety net against unexpected financial loss. And because you are compensated, your financial stability is retained. There is a legal binding on both insurer and insured. As the protection is provided by insurer, the insured is supposed to comply with certain terms and conditions, not only before issuance of the policy, but also after issuance of the policy. And in all, this creates an economic stability, because with this an individual benefits, the business benefits, and in turn the nation benefits. So it's a win-win-win for all. Now, what are the essential elements of insurance? The first and the foremost essential element of insurance is the existence of an asset, because only when there is an asset, there can be a possibility of a loss, and this asset will decide what is the economic value based on either its price written on the invoice or through certain rules when it comes to life insurance. If we want to broadly classify assets, we can classify into tangible assets and intangible assets. When we talk about tangible assets, these are the physical things that can be seen, that can be visualized as it is when a person actually enjoys it. Example, a real estate, a land, any personal property, as well as a movable property. So both movable and immovable property can come into tangible assets. However, intangible assets does not actually give you a view. These are not seen, but it can be created on the basis of good name and credentials in the market. The best example is a company's goodwill in creating a product, marketing the, distributing the product, as well as after sales service. So it has established an image, a credential. This becomes an intangible asset. And this makes up two main types of assets. And this is how we will understand our insurance when we consider life, non-life, as well as health insurance. One important concept in insurance is risk pooling. What is pooling? Pooling simply means large number of people come together and the risk is spread amongst this large number of people. In the ancient times, we have seen like the Chinese traders who used to spread their risk with different sailors. In terms of modern insurance, this is spread amongst large number of policyholders. The insurer combines the risk of many individuals to make good the losses, which are predictable. For this, he can establish different risk pools, and based on the level of risk, the premium are charged with the basic principle, higher the risk, higher the premium. And of course, just because higher the risk doesn't mean it is out of the reach of the insurer, because he need to buy an insurance where it is required. And for that reason, the insurance company ensures that the premium is affordable enough to drive the insurance business profitably, as well as to allow the insurer to buy the policy. Next important concept is risk management. Risk management is a technique for treating risk, because this starts from identifying what is the risk, where is the risk. Next step is to assess how big is the risk, then to decide and evaluate should we go ahead based on the priority of which risk to cover, and then the strategy of either transferring the risk, accepting the risk, or taking care for mitigating the risk. It safeguards individuals and businesses from financial setbacks. It helps the individuals and businesses focus on their goals. It promotes wealth accumulation over time. And in most important is it reduces the expected cost. So when we talk about scientific risk management, this has evolved over a period of time, initially done manually, but in modern times it is done with sophisticated advanced technology specific suiting different functions of insurance. Now we come to another important concept, more specifically in life insurance, that is the human life value. As we have seen, an asset is protected, but when it comes to life, how do we know what is the value of life? And for that reason, Dr. Solomon Stephen Huebner gave us a concept of human life value, so that insurance company can decide or calculate this particular value related to the life of a person, and based on that, he can provide an insurance policy. So this in short is called as the HLV. HLV is a measure of economic loss to a family if the family's bread earner dies prematurely. If a family is dependent of a person who is an earning person, and if that person dies, then the nominee from the family has to get a money which is equivalent to the loss they could suffer because of the loss of the bread earner of the family, and based on that, the premium would also be set. The present value of the expected net earnings over the individual's economic lifetime is capitalized. So whatever the sources of income, the expenses, they are all clubbed together to understand the present value of the expected net earnings. And that is actually translated into an insurance in monetary terms to provide the insurance, life insurance cover. Initially, this was done manually, but nowadays, anyone can visit insurance companies' websites who provide a human life value calculator. You simply enter your personal details based related to your income, your expenses, your liabilities, your investments, and you simply get up to how much amount an insurance company will be able to provide you life insurance. So your HLV can be simply calculated by a few clicks on this human life value calculator. Next important concept is the perils and hazards. We have to understand what is the difference between peril and hazard. Both look similar, but they are not. A peril refers to the cause of the loss of an asset. For example, if there is an earthquake, it can cause death to individuals. It can destroy or damage the properties. Whereas an hazard refers to the factors that can cause an increase or decrease in perils. So these hazards aggravate the loss by increasing the loss, whereas perils are the root cause because of which a loss can happen. When we talk about hazards, there can be different types of hazards, like a physical hazard, defective construction in a building. If a building is constructed and if does not make use of the best materials, there is a chance that the building will collapse. Intangible hazards, habits and attitudes. A smoker, a chain smoker, has high risk to his life. So this is not seen, but his habit of smoking will be known to him only, and it will cause internal damage, which in turn can cause a loss. The sub-concepts also exist over and above the basic concepts which we discussed till now. The sub-concepts are more related to the modern life insurance, starting from policy, the premium, the risk, the coverage for specific insured events, the sum assured, and the claim process. So each one has its own terminology and understanding. When we talk about the policy, this is the most basic document which an insurance company provides after it underwrites. This is on the proposal form, the details provided by the prospect. The policy also mentions the premium, which has to be paid by the policyholder at periodic intervals. It can be monthly, quarterly, half yearly, yearly, or even one-time premium. The risk, because when we talk about insurance, it covers only that risk which is covered, not any other risk which is not covered. So the coverage of specific events are specific mentioned in the policy. And if at all any such specific event happens, how much the loss compensation can happen, or the sum assured would be paid in case of a life insurance, that is mentioned in the life insurance policy. And if at all such untoward event happens, then how to raise the claim, the claim process also is mentioned in the policy, and the policyholder is obligated to follow that claim process, to submit the form along with the necessary documents, which we'll discuss when we come to the claim settlement chapter. Now, another some important concepts is a mortality table. We have seen mortality table is very, very important to measure the probability of death occurring during a defined period, because when we talk about the premium should cover the loss that could happen, and this premium is based on what probability of death occurs amongst the policy holders. So this is not that easy, but when we have the mortality tables, then mathematically you can calculate and reach a very near prediction, and this science is more useful for actuaries who are well versed into using this mortality table for doing various matters, important matters related to insurance. One amongst them is to determine the premium amount for life insurance. Sources of mortality constructions can be obtained from population statistics and records of life insurers, and there are certain specific sources which the actuaries are aware about. Now, next we come to the insurance process. The first step is obviously there has to be an application by the prospect, which we call it as the proposal form. Once the application is submitted, it also has to be actually supplemented with the premium payment, and after the underwriting is done, that is, the insurance company accepts the proposal, it issues a policy. Next, the insurance company services the policy, and the insured has to fulfill its obligations. If at all the risk occurs or the loss happens, a claim is filed, and the insurer or the insurance company settles the claim. So friends, having understood the different concepts of insurance, now let us move into the next important unit of this chapter, which is the key principles of insurance. When we talk about the key principles of insurance, there can be many, but in this book, we are referring to certain very important key principles. And these are the fundamental principles that ensures fairness, transparency, and effective risk management, so that there is no dispute, there is no misunderstanding between the insured and the insurer. Like banking, you should know certain banking key principles. Likewise, the insured should also be aware about these key principles. Only then the insurance process can be smoother. These key principles enables the insured and the insurer to understand their rights and obligations, and also establishes certain terms and conditions to be followed not only by the insured but by the insurer also. So what are the key principles? Starting with the insurable interest, utmost good faith, indemnity, subrogation, warranties, and there are a few more. So let's start with insurable interest. What is an insurable interest? Insurable interest is a right of the insured to insure an asset. But what gives him the right? It can be based on law or blood relation as well as possession of the asset. When we talk about law, we will see certain situations like an employer and employee, a mortgagor and mortgagee, a lessor or lessee. These are established by law. So herein, someone else can buy insurance only in that scenario. Whereas when it is a blood relation, no doubt one person can buy an insurance for himself. He can also buy an insurance for a spouse because of blood relation. Children can buy insurance for their parents, blood relation. So these are the two basic concepts related with insurable interest, that it is based on law or blood relation. The most important aspect of insurable interest is that person who buys insurance gains or benefits from the insured asset. At the same time, that insured may also suffer financial loss or inconvenience if there is a damage to the asset. Only then the insurable interest right will be with the insured. The insurable interest must exist both at the time of the proposal and the time of claims. However, in case of marine insurance contracts, where the endorsement happens at different stages, the insurable interest exists at the time of loss. Every person is presumed to have an insurable interest in their own life, but not the life of a stranger. You can buy an insurance on your own life, not any stranger. This establishes a very important principle about who can buy an insurance, and this insurable interest answers all your questions. Now let us understand insurable interest based on contractual relationship. The case of a debtor and a creditor. A creditor has an insurable interest in the life of a debtor. Who is a creditor? A banker who gives loan to a borrower. So a banker has an insurable interest in the borrower, so he can have an insurance policy to cover the loss. A mortgagee and a mortgagor. Specifically in case of property finance, the person who owns the property has to mortgage his asset. So he becomes the mortgagor, and here the financer becomes the mortgagee. So mortgagee can insure the life of a mortgagor. So in case there is a loss of an asset, the compensation can happen to make good the loss of the money that is financed to the mortgager. A principal and agent, a principal can ensure the life of his agent because the agent represents the principal. So any loss because of the agent can be insured. A bailer and the bailee. Bailee is entitled to insure the full value of the goods in his possession because he is responsible for what the bailer has kept with him. And here, the full value of goods needs to be insured. And here, the bailee can have an insurable interest simply because of the contractual relationships and ensure that the all goods that are in possession are insured. The lessor and the lessee. When we talk about the lessor, he hires some place and the lessee and takes the benefit. So if at all any damage is done to the property in lease should be compensated, so the lessor can insure for the full value of the property in possession of the lessee. Likewise, a surety has an insurable interest in the principal debtor and co-surety, specifically when guarantees are offered. Employee has an insurable interest in the employee. So likewise, employers have an insurable interest in the employees. So both insure to make good the losses that are happening. Partners have an insurable interest in the lives of each other. So when we talk about partners, each one has a specific way of acting if because of which any loss happens or if anyone dies. So that insurance take helps them to make good the loss. So having understood the first important principle in the form of insurable interest, now let's move towards the next important principle, which is utmost good faith. What do you mean by utmost good faith? Utmost good faith establishes a very important responsibility on the insured to disclose all material facts related to the asset. It goes to such an extent by saying that the insured is duty bound to disclose all the facts fully and accurately without being specifically requested by the insurance company whenever they are connected with the risk. It is not important what the insured feels, whether they are important or not, but if any fact is related with the risk that is insured, he is duty bound to disclose all the facts. And when we talk about the material facts, it is capability to influence the insurer's underwriting decision or fix the premium based on the level of risk. So here, the insured should not decide on what is to be disclosed or what not to be disclosed. If any facts are related with the insured asset, he should disclose it fully and accurately. So that will help the insured to determine the level of risk and based on that, take a decision on accepting the risk and deciding the premium. Any omission, concealment, fraudulent misrepresentation or statements made with the intention of deceiving the insurer, howsoever it would be innocent or inaccurate, it would amount to breach of duty of utmost good faith, and the consequences would be the insurer can straightaway void the contract. Whatever the promises that are or obligations that are established in the policy will go void. Insurer will not fulfill those whenever there is a breach of duty of utmost good faith. And the insurer should also should ensure that he should not fail to disclose the facts accurately and fully. All facts are to be disclosed accurately and fully. With this, we come to a third important key principle, which is indemnity. Indemnity is defined under Section 124 of the Indian Contract Act 1872 as a contract by which one party promises to save the other from loss caused to him by the conduct of the promisor himself or by the conduct of another person. Now, the same thing can be applied in insurance. But when we talk about life insurance contracts, life insurance contracts are assurance contracts and not indemnity. Why do we say so? Because when we talk about indemnity, the compensation is based on the actual price of the asset. But the problem in life insurance is we don't have an actual price for the life of a person. It has to be determined on the basis of human life value, and hence here, based on the HLV, the insurer comes at a sum assured and promises to pay a specified amount in case of a life insurance contract. However, when it comes to general insurance, they are largely indemnity contracts. Once again, to go further, within life insurance contracts, when you have certain riders attached, personal accident insurance and sickness insurance are also non-indemnity contracts. So when we talk about indemnity, one has to be very clear. One party promises to save the other from loss. This one party, when we talk in terms of insurance, is the insurance company, and this loss is caused by the conduct of the promisor himself or by the conduct of another person. So if the loss happens because of specified events happening, certain uncertain events happening, then the insurance company has to make good the loss. Non-life insurance are contracts of indemnity because it provides financial compensation equivalent to the economic value of the asset. Insurer pays only for the actual loss. The insured cannot profit from the claim. That is what establishes the contract of indemnity. It restricts the compensation only to the extent of loss, to the extent of death. You don't have a right to profit from insurance. It protects the insurer from over-insurance. That is where this key principle becomes very important to establish an understanding, to avoid misunderstanding, and to allow the process of insurance to happen smoothly.